Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the Bald-Faced Truth.
New study points out that too much sitting raises your cancer risk. As I sit on a stool in my studio doing this radio show for 15 hours a week. 7.4 magnitude earthquake hit Mexico. We'll talk about that this hour. People who are doing all those Zoom calls or Google calls or FaceTiming during this pandemic have developed a habit that I want to talk about this hour. We'll talk about public toilets and why Apple wants to replace your car key with an iPhone. An iPhone that will unlock and start your car. Are you interested in that, or is that just going too far? I can remember having to have a camera when I wanted to take a picture. The 17-year-old asked me the other day, I was showing her photographs of like when she was 6 years old at her birthday party or whatever. She's like, where's the camera that took that picture? She wants the camera. And I'm like, you have a camera on your phone. Everybody has an HD camera now. You don't need an old camera. Now she wants film. Maybe the photographer experts out there are nodding, going, yeah, she gets it. She wants to shoot in like Super 8 instead of using the video. Alabama Adriana, help me out with this. Why does the 17-year-old want to shoot with Super 8, which, by the way, is going to cost her like $20 to develop and then put onto a digital file so she can watch it?
I think there are a few reasons. Film has actually become super trendy. It's had a couple of different waves in the last like 5 years or so, but I think it's always stayed sort of cool and trendy because it's old fashioned. It's like antique almost, yep. Retro, whatever you want to call it. And then also, I like the fact that when you shoot, especially with Polaroid, and with film, you get the pictures printed out, so you have them in your hands. With Polaroid, you have something tangible that comes mm-hmm. from it. With the phone, it gets lost in your photo library, and then you forget that it's even there. So with film, it's like, it's kind of nostalgic and retro, and I like that.
She had me call somebody yesterday. She said, hey, I don't know where I can get this Super 8 film developed. And so I started calling. I made a couple calls, and I got a guy on the phone who was at one of the photo labs, and he started laughing. And he said, kids these days, you know, because all those photo places to stay in business have gone digital. And he says, now kids want, you know, they want to shoot Super 8, and they want to shoot with film and have the color be a little different in the film. Because it's all, you know how people are into filters and stuff? But apparently, also you've got, in addition to that, you've got people who are, you know, wanting to shoot film because you can get color you can't get with your digital picture.
Well,
so
yeah.
There you go.
And also, yeah. Though, like how fun is it to have one of those disposable cameras? You know, you turn the flash on, it makes that noise, and then you wind it up and you take another picture, and you don't know what you have until you go get it developed. Isn't that so, like, fun?
It didn't used to be. It used to be like, oh, this is so annoying. This is so slow. How many pictures do I have left? Mm-hmm. You don't know. And then you'd arrive at the end of the roll. You'd take a picture and realize, oh, that was a great shot. I'm never going to get because I was out of film and I didn't know. But, you know, the mysteries of life have now changed. All right. It brings us, of course, to the 2 at 2. Let's play.
The 2 at 2.
Well, a lot going on. There are some conflicting feelings that have emerged in the NBA. Sam Amick, USA Today, joined the Jim Rome show this morning to kind of talk about the bubble in Orlando. It's not a true bubble. There's going to be risk there, and it's caused some feelings. Here's Amick. Punch
it. You know, the NBA, I do think, has gone to incredibly exhaustive lengths to try to create the safest environment possible. But as others have certainly said, it's not a bubble. You know, it's just that phrasing is not accurate. You're going to have Disney employees that are able to come and go while going home every night and then trying to keep their distance from the players when they're in there. And so you're going to have an element of risk, even though they are trying, you know, their best to mitigate it.
Element of risk, it has caused some angst among players, of course. You're getting some players who are saying, I'm not sure if I'm going to go or not. They have until July 1 to make their final decision. Rosters are due. Then the NBA will have to move forward. Brian Windhorst, ESPN, talking on the Dan Patrick Show about the concerns with the restart.
One is that, and my guess is it would be a star player, but it could be anybody, is that somebody comes down with the virus and the players just lose confidence in the entire thing. And whether there's an outbreak or not, they say, I don't want to do this anymore, and they defect. The other concern I have is of a genuine outbreak where, you know, there's a lag time. As much as the NBA is doing here, and they are doing everything, just about everything that we know to do, is that they miss it. Somebody gets sick and infects 5 or 6 other people. And it's an outbreak to the point where not only do you have to shut it down, but it becomes unclear whether you're going to be able to restart it again anytime in the near future.
Well, speak of the devil, Denver Nuggets All NBA center Nikola Jokic has tested positive for coronavirus. He's in Serbia. His return to the United States has been delayed. Now, he tested positive last week. He's been asymptomatic. He's expected to be cleared to travel. But this is a guy who has transformed his body during this hiatus. He lost 40 pounds, and he's supposed to be coming back in rare form or new form. Now, also, Nuggets coach Michael Malone disclosed that he tested positive during the hiatus. So, yeah, I think you're going to have some various degrees of confidence. Is that a polite way to put it? When it comes to the return to basketball and the NBA. Cincinnati Bearcats are my second of my 2 at 2. I talked about this in hour number one, but I really want to hammer it home. Marge Schott's name is being stripped from the University of Cincinnati's baseball stadium. I'm applauding this. I never really understood this because I remember Marge Schott in the 1990s making comments about Adolf Hitler and being banned from Major League Baseball in 1993 because she made racist comments towards black players and team employees. She has a clear record of racism and bigotry. And I never understood the celebration of Marge Schott. When she passed away, it was like baseball forgave and forgot and tried to, you can't change the record. Now, she gave Cincinnati $2 million, or at least her estate did. That $2 million is not worth keeping her name on the stadium. And the University of Cincinnati apparently agrees with that. They're taking her name off the stadium. It's my 2 at 2. And there you have it. The two biggest things going on in the world of sports. My wife has popped into studio. I'm going to ask her about that, among other things. When it comes to Marge Schott. All right, here's a lady that was older lady, owner of a team, racist, bigot, who was on record banned by baseball. I remember when she passed away, everybody all of a sudden was like, Marge Schott was so great. Why do we do that with people? Why, when people die, do we forget, like, that was not a good human being?
Oh, so you bring me in on the easy one?
Yep.
Okay.
You want to talk about film and why kids shoot in film or not digital? No, for real. Like, why is that? Like, if you're a bad person and then you die, why at the memorial service? Like, I get at the memorial service. That's your family. But why were the news stories about Marge Schott at the time of her passing? I remember this. She died and everybody kind of forgot. And they went, Marge Schott, pioneer in her sport. One of the few women owners in sports. And they didn't go, racist, who was banned in 1993 by Major League Baseball because of what she said about black players.
Well, first of all, I don't think all people are all bad or all good. Second of all, it probably speaks more to what we desire for ourselves when we pass. Like, we don't only want to be remembered a certain way. We don't only want to be remembered for our bad, you know, less than good characteristics. And so there's probably some part of us that wants to memorialize the you know, better aspects of people when they pass. So I don't know.
She is the N-word when it came to her players. Eric Davis, Dave Parker.
Yeah.
She also apparently kept a Nazi swastika armband at her home. She also was overheard by multiple people comparing black people with primates.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, yeah, those are not good things.
At her funeral, and as the news coverage emerged at her passing in 2004, I remember people saying Marge Schott, owner of the Reds, former owner of the Reds, also one of the great women who have owned a sports team.
Right.
That's more to me than like, hey, we want people to remember the good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like everyone just glossed over the fact that like this was a pretty horrible human being.
Yeah. Maybe times are different now. I mean, it's, what was that, 2004? You said that happened? How many years later are we now? 16 years later? Like, I don't think anybody was going, hey, that Jeffrey Epstein was an entrepreneurial, you know,
that's true,
well-connected guy who handled other people's money really well and made other people rich. I think maybe we've stripped away some of that.
Yeah.
Maybe just in the last 5 to 10 years.
She was also, her players didn't like her because she had St. Bernards. People might remember this. She had St. Bernards, and the St. Bernard dog of hers was allowed to roam the stadium like it owned the place.
Oh.
And it would just like plop down in the outfield and drop its business in the outfield.
Geez.
And the players were like, what are we doing here? It had free reign of Riverfront Stadium.
Oh, boy.
Defecating right on the field. And Marge wouldn't do anything
because
that was her baby.
Right.
That was her dog.
Right.
I remember that.
Yeah, that might grate on you over time.
She also didn't want to hire scouts. She said, well, all they do is sit around and watch games.
Hmm.
And she wanted to take the scores of other games off the scoreboard.
What do you mean?
She said, why would fans care about another game? They're at this game.
Oh,
so she didn't want to put the other games on the Riverfront Stadium because, by the way, the cost of that was also $350 a month to get the scores from the other games.
Yeah.
Like in real time.
Yeah.
She didn't want to pay for that. She's cheap. So let's rememorialize her.
Okay.
Marge Schott, one-time owner of the Cincinnati Reds, died at the age of 75. She was a pretty bad human being who was a bigot and a racist. She owned a dog and a swastika armband. Who knows where she's leaving them? Be careful if you put your name on your stadium. You may have to strip it off one day. Scouts who are not in attendance at today's service because they couldn't stand her, and players who didn't show up here either. That speaks pretty loudly, Marge. We hope, wish you the best.
In your afterlife.
In your afterlife. Don't bring a jacket.
Oh,
is that horrible? You're not going to need a jacket, Marge. Is that bad?
Is that
bad?
Come on.
Are you calling me out right now?
Just, there's a line.
Too far? Did I cross a line?
Too far.
So when they memorialize me, they'll say he was so hard on Marge Schott. I'll be okay with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, how do you want to be memorialized?
I don't
someday. I don't, see here you you've gotten me doing it now, talking about your impending death.
Yeah.
Check. Daily check.
You want to know something horrible that I saw on TikTok?
I don't know if I want to know what you saw that was horrible.
This show gets a little dicey in this hour, but let me just point this out. You know how people have granite countertops? Alabama Adriana. You know how people have granite countertops? Because I want your reaction on this too. Okay, somebody went and checked underneath in their apartment the bottom of the granite countertops and realized that somebody had repurposed what was a tombstone as their granite countertop, and there was actually the name and born and died, like, engraved on the bottom of
That can't be real.
It's a real thing. I saw it on TikTok.
Therefore,
it exists.
It's real.
How would you feel to learn that your apartment countertop was a tombstone?
Well, it's definitely haunted.
Like, first of all, how big was that tombstone? Like, that good must have been a good-sized tombstone.
I wondered if it was like, did they misspell the name or something, and then they had to use a second one?
Yeah.
Like, they just said, hey, we got to, instead of throwing it away, somebody repurposed it?
Yeah. Why waste a good piece of granite?
Yeah.
But couldn't you sand that away before you install it in a new house?
Can you sand a piece of granite where you've already engraved it?
That's like, okay, so years ago, I was helping a friend move into her home in, you know, somewhere in Portland. And I, you know, I'm being a good friend. You know, there was a group of us and we were carrying boxes into the house and moving furniture. And I just got this feeling. I stood on the corner outside her house with one of her boxes in my hand and I froze for a moment because I looked around and I realized, why is this corner so familiar to me? And this happens more often than I care to admit. I realized that the house right across the street, thankfully it wasn't the house where she was moving in, but there was, I realized that like maybe 4 to 5 years before, I had stood right on that street corner late at night doing a live shot for K2 News about the triple homicide that had occurred right across the street from her. And it was, you know, it wasn't her house, but it got me thinking, like, how do you know that the house that you're buying, especially if you're, you know, buying it in an older part of town or something, that something horrific hasn't occurred there? You wouldn't know. You might not know.
But in older houses, I would expect that people know, like, you know, there's a chance that somebody died of natural causes in a house, because there was once upon a time a lot of, I know my grandparents were that way. They did not want to die in a hospital. They wanted to be at their house because it was a comfortable thing.
Right.
So all the hospice care when they were in their late 80s and 90s, when that happened, was at the house with a hospital bed. Like, that's where they passed.
Yeah.
I kind of wondered that too. Like, did the owners that bought my grandparents' house know that both my grandmother and grandfather passed in that living room?
Yeah.
Would you want to know?
They passed, I mean, they passed peacefully, though, with family around them and with so much love. Like, I wonder, like, when you, so if you buy a house where something horrific has happened, like a murder, is that, like, legally, does that have to be disclosed, you know, in the paperwork as you're buying it, I wonder.
It would be like Carfax for a house.
You know what? We might be onto something here. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, you have to report if it's been in an accident, right? So there has to be a report of an accident happening in a house, or maybe not an accident.
I think we should invent this website. Every time that there is a violent crime, you get the address and you put it in. That way, when people go to buy a house, they can go into the database and they can be like, anything hinky happened in this house?
Well, I used to have, so one of the photographers at K2 I used to work with swore that after he retired, he would write a book and he would call it like the mayhem map of Portland and Southwest Washington. And he would go, like, he would map out all the places around town that he had covered in the news where terrible things had happened, and it would just be this book with pictures and locators, which is
speaking of which,
that you get in working in news.
You know, we've talked about this on the show before, your coverage of Ward Weaver and the house that he had where he had disposed of bodies.
Mm-hmm.
In Oregon City.
Yeah.
It never resold, did it? Like, they knocked it down, didn't they? Are they turning it into a park? What's going on?
It's the lot itself has sat vacant for, gosh, how many years now? Like, we're going on almost 18 years, I think. It's been vacant for almost 18 years there on Beaver Creek Road, and they've struggled because no one has wanted to do anything with the property. The last I heard, it's been kind of in fits and starts, but the last that I heard, it was being turned into, it was going to be developed into some kind of facility for, you know, abused women and children
that
or something
should be.
Like that.
That's the only thing
something
you can
virtuous.
Do. Right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah.
That's what should happen to a place like that. All right, we have more discussion ahead. You leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. The Oregon Golf Association. You can check out the Oregon Golf Association by going to OGA.org. I'm literally going there right now, and what I see as OGA.org pops up is the ability to unlock your golf world. $250 in savings if you become an OGA member and you join on their website. You can choose your region: Portland, Eastern Oregon, the coast, Salem, Central Oregon, the Eugene area, and you get special opportunities at courses in your area. So wherever you are, the OGA membership pays off. Take advantage of those benefits and get your handicap after just three rounds. OGA.org to get those membership opportunities. My wife has popped into studio, as she does in the 2 o'clock hour often. Apple wants to replace your car key with an iPhone. Good idea or bad idea?
For as often as I lose my phone.
You've driven away without your phone, so that would keep you for not. That would keep you from driving away without your phone.
I spend half my life looking for my phone, so I guess I'd be tied to my phone. I don't know. Maybe that's a good thing to link it to
all
my
in
phone.
One.
All in one.
You got your credit card on your phone. You got your car key on your phone. You know. You got your camera on your phone. I get why Apple wants this.
Oh, sure.
Right?
It makes their device indispensable to you. Did you also see they're not going to be using Intel chips anymore?
Put their own chips in?
They're going to make and put their own chips in, which I got to think that's not great for Intel.
The idea that you have all this in one place.
Yeah.
How long could you go without a phone?
Like 30 minutes.
Alabama Adriana. Of all of us, I actually think Alabama Adriana could make it longer than you or I. I think I just think, even though she's reliant on it, I've seen her shut down her social media. I've seen her listen. She doesn't end the accounts. She just removes the app. Big whoop. But she removes the app. I think she's less. I think
no. She got off Facebook. She just decided that Facebook wasn't necessary for her anymore.
I'm not sure she deleted the account.
I deactivated the Facebook, but I deleted forever my Snapchat, too.
Gone.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, there was for my meditation capstone, we did an unplugged assignment where we were supposed to go without our phones for 3 days in a row. And other than, like, the necessary texts and stuff, I pretty much stayed off social media for the most part.
How did it feel?
It was really telling about how often I usually am on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like you,
what do you
notice,
mean by that?
You notice that it's gone a lot.
Yeah, because you like it's almost like, you know, like an amputee with a phantom appendage. Like you're reaching
mm-hmm.
for it.
My uncle called it a pacifier this weekend because it literally is like for adults.
You're a little twitchy, Judah.
I like that,
Judah. How long could you go without your phone?
I could probably go 3 days if I had to. Voluntarily, I've gone without it for a weekend as like a little technology fast. I do technology fast every now and then just to prove to myself I can do it. But it's hard. Adriana is very right. Like you notice that it's gone a lot. It is like a psychological pacifier and your reliance on it becomes seamless and without thought. And That's a little unsettling. So I try to prove to myself every once in a while I can actually exist without it.
There's tremendous competition to get on your phone from the app developers and the companies. I get why Apple wants to shut everybody out. Like Apple wants to make a deal with car companies that says, hey, allow us to have the technology that starts the car. Tesla's already there. But I don't see the harm in necessarily, you know, that being your key, because you have like a key fob now that you walk up to your car on. You don't actually put a key in a lot of the newer cars. You just push a button.
Mm-hmm.
So if your phone becomes that thing, what's the harm in that? Other than if someone steals your phone, they're now able to steal your car.
I suppose if they can like unlock it, right? If they can.
Well, I did see a story that said that facial recognition on the iPhone was not as effective with Asian people.
Oh, it doesn't work ever with me. It's the weirdest thing. Like, you will hold up your phone and
yep.
your phone unlocks. I can never get my phone to unlock sticking my face in front of it.
That's really interesting.
I thought I just said it wrong or something. I didn't know that. It's got an issue with Asians.
It has an issue. It thinks that all Asians look alike. That's what the iPhone thinks.
The iPhone too?
Yeah.
But like it's made in China. Asians make the iPhone.
I just think whatever technology it's using, it's just not as effective. There was a story that said that multiple members of one family were able to use like interchange, like the son opened the mom's phone,
yeah,
because they look similar,
yeah,
and whatever technology the iPhone was using recognized the son as the mom. And then other people, like you, have just been unable to get the phone to find kind of a baseline.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter with me. I can have a hat on. I can have I can have sunglasses on.
Yeah, you
on.
Do it. I see you. Pops you do it. You do it in the dark.
I do it in the dark.
Recognize you in the dark.
Recognizes me.
And I can't. You're just mocking me now.
Well, maybe your phone doesn't know who you are.
I know.
By the way,
I just want to go back to the fingerprint. Can we go back to the fingerprint? I liked that.
By the way, you have a problem on your phone.
I have a lot of problems.
I showed it to your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She's a college kid, just graduated from college.
Yeah.
I said, look at this phone. Look at how many apps this human being has on the phone. You are overloaded. That phone is overwhelmed. No wonder it doesn't want to know you.
You don't even talk. How many unread messages and voicemails are on your phone?
You know
right
what
now?
Your phone is doing?
The answer is enough to give a sane person angina.
Yeah.
Like
angina?
Seriously. Like
that's a good
word. Yeah. You go so long. I can't even believe how many. Well, pull out your phone right now. How many unread text messages do you have? That would literally, like, it's giving me anxiety sweat. You have 492 unread text messages. So for anybody that has actually figured out how to text John and he hasn't gotten back to you.
Including Judah from earlier.
That's
in the show.
Why.
But no, sometimes the message, you don't need to open the message to read it.
Like, but that's why you miss messages,
like,
because
Jim
texted
me yesterday.
You have no idea when you get a new message because it just goes into the ether.
Yeah, right.
Like, and how many unheard voicemails do you? Oh, that's what do you have there? 183 unread voicemails. Holy moly!
Unlistened to
or unlistened to.
But you know what your phone's doing? Your phone has so many apps. It's so busy. I know why it won't open when it sees your face. It goes, I've had enough. I can't take another app.
My phone is...
She has so many apps. Alabama Adriana, I don't know if you've seen her Anna's phone. She has a sea of apps.
Okay.
Like folder within folder within folder. It's mind-numbing. I can't find anything.
Okay, but to her defense, I have seen her phone, not in a while because of the distancing, but I have seen her phone and like... I would say a good like 50-60% of those apps are for the girls.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're right.
But there is a problem before that. Like your opening page, I open it. I can't even find like if I needed a calculator. I'd have no idea where it is on the phone.
Well, it's my phone.
I have no.
But
I've had a circumstance where I pick up your phone and I go and I need to. Let's just go. I need to. I need to Google something. Let me borrow your phone. I have to sift through multiple pages, go inside of a folder.
Well, it's not your phone.
And I end up handing it back to you and going, can you Google something for me?
Yeah, well.
That's why your phone doesn't open.
That's what makes it my device.
Your phone looks at you and goes, not this lady again. I can't take another app.
It's figuratively curled up in a fetal position.
Nobody home. That's what your phone says. All right, enough of that. Leave it here. The Culligan Water Cooler Report is coming up. The Culligan Water Cooler Report. We do it every day on this show. Meet me at
the water cooler. Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
Something not right in the NASCAR world. For those of you who have not been following NASCAR, there was a noose that was found in Talladega in the garage that caused a massive story over the weekend, and then ultimately on Monday resulted in a really cool moment for NASCAR where the drivers all helped push Bubba Wallace's car to the front of the property line. But that noose just minutes ago, NASCAR's own investigation into that noose is they're saying that it has been there for some time and that it was believed to be the noose, not a noose, but a rope that was supposed to be used to pull the garage door closed. They even have photos of it. Something about this story is not right. Something about this story is too convenient. Because now images are emerging showing every garage door pulled down and Bubba's garage door pulled down. I'm just not convinced that NASCAR would have reacted the way it did if this didn't look like a noose or wasn't intentionally put there. Like, you know what I mean? Like I don't have all the facts on this because it's just minutes old, but, yeah. But you know, somebody who I really respect, Jerry Brewer, the sports columnist at the Washington Post, has come out and said, look, I find it hard to believe that trained professionals who are accustomed to being in these garage stalls regularly would be prone to overreacting on the level that they all sort of recognized that this was a problem. More to come.
Yeah.
Is what this the headline of this story is.
Let's see what we find out in a couple days on that.
What I thought it was a really cool moment for NASCAR, though, where you've got one African-American driver who's in the race.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the drivers all got out of their cars and the crews and pushed that driver's car to the front of the line. Like, I've never really been a NASCAR person, full disclosure. I think motorsports is a sport.
Mm-hmm.
I've written about motorsports. I've been to tracks. I've never been a motorsports person.
Yeah.
And it's not my thing. But I cared more about NASCAR in the wake of this stuff because of that action on Monday at Talladega than I do at any other time. Have you ever been to a motorsports event?
I have. Yeah, I have. When you talked about it, Monday, today's yeah. Tuesday.
Yesterday.
Oh, it's so hard these days. I got tears in my eyes just hearing you describe it, frankly. I mean, what a scene and what a show of support. I have. I've been there, and I think we've had this conversation about, is it really a sport? And yeah, I mean, the endurance of having to race a car like that around the track so many times and the maneuvering and all that. Yeah, it's a sport, I suppose.
NASCAR released a statement saying the FBI completed its investigation and determined that Bubba Wallace was not the target of a hate crime. The FBI report concludes and photographic evidence confirms that the garage door pull rope fashioned like a noose had been positioned there as early as last fall. This was well before his team's arrival and the garage assignment. They appreciate the FBI's quick and thorough investigation, and they're thankful to learn that this was not an intentional racist act against Bubba.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
But the story, to me, is not about the noose now.
Okay. What is it about?
I think that NASCAR had a really nice moment.
Mm-hmm.
And a nice... NASCAR, whose history has been plagued with this Confederate flag nonsense.
Yeah.
They finally removed their Confederate flag. You know, Bubba comes out, Bubba Wallace and his team, he comes out to race in the race. Mm-hmm. All the other racers showed support.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's the story.
Yep.
Look at the growth that NASCAR has shown. Can the country show that kind of growth? Can you show that growth in your heart? Like, this is a sport that we did not inherently look upon as like a sport that took care of all people. Now that is taking care of all people.
So it doesn't take anything away from that moment that occurred on the track, you know, that this turns out
doesn't at all
not be a noose.
But yeah, because to me, I look at NASCAR now and I have a good association, a positive association with NASCAR.
Yeah.
They did the right thing with the Confederate flag and they cared about Bubba Wallace when they thought a hate crime had occurred.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think somebody still flew like a Confederate flag over the event. Like somebody spent the money to fly a Confederate flag over the event with a plane. I thought that was interesting. It's an interesting way to spend your money.
This has been the Culligan Water Cooler Report. I want to thank Culligan of Oregon for their support of this radio show. Coming up, we're going to talk about people in video calls. Anna, have you been on video calls?
Too many lately, yeah.
All right. So there's a habit that sociologists have noticed and tracked in watching and observing people who are doing repeated video calls for home or work or friends or whatever. Apparently, people wave at the end of the call when they go to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Why do we wave at the end of the call? We're going to talk about that plus sports teams coming up. What sports teams would you want to own if you could own a team? We'll talk about all of that coming up. I want you to leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Germany's top court ruled today that Facebook has abused its dominance in social media to illegally harvest data about its users. Case apparently was very closely watched. Basically, Facebook broke laws by combining data that it collects about users across its different platforms, including WhatsApp and Instagram, and third-party apps and other websites. So now, in Germany, Facebook has to allow people to block the company from combining that data. I'm a little torn on this. It's become valuable. That's valuable data.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Proven. Should we all be dropping these apps? Should we all get off these apps? Why are we giving them our information?
I think, I mean, it's just a matter of going in eyes wide open, knowing that whatever you post on there, you know, you're clicking on the terms of service and basically saying, you can have all my pictures. I'm going to post it on your social media website, network, whatever. And now you don't really own those photos anymore.
The European Commission also announced a formal investigation of Apple. Amazon's under antitrust scrutiny in Brussels. And Washington, D.C., Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google are facing investigations by the Justice Department and Congress. So it's like they know damn well these things are not good. Mm-hmm. So they're all looking into it. Meanwhile, you have these video calls in a pattern emerging among those who use the video calls. They wave at people. Sociologists are determined when you go on these apps, why do people wave at people? Why do they wave goodbye?
Well,
at the end of the call,
I think depending on who you're on the call with, like if you're on a Zoom call with, you know, 25 people for work, often 24 out of the 25 people are muted because otherwise you'd be hearing all of the ambient noise, kids running in, door slamming, dog barking. And if you've been on one of those calls, you know what I'm talking about. It's like torture for your ears. And so I think people wave up. In part because it's just pragmatic. You're saying goodbye. You're trying to be cordial, but you may also very well be muted and, you know, whatever you might say won't be heard.
Your mom gets on those calls and she just leaves her thing unmuted, though.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't there a call she was on over the weekend that was kind of annoying?
No, it was just, I think a lot of people were unmuted on that call. It was cute. It was our friends that were having a 60th wedding anniversary party on Zoom. And so I think there were a lot of people on the call that were a little bit unfamiliar with the technology and didn't really know how to mute themselves.
I've only done two of those calls during this whole time.
Yeah.
One of them was a college class that was wanting to have a guest, and I went and did that. And the other one was just a friend of mine who we needed to talk about a bunch of stuff, and we needed a third person on the call. And so he said, I'll just do a video call. I've only done two calls. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Because I had to nod and pretend like I'm engaged the whole time. I was smiling and nodding a lot, like, because I wanted to. I was well aware that I was like, hey, I need to let these people know that I'm actively listening. I don't have to do that. Like, even right now, I'm kind of looking at you at the corner of my eye.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're averting eye contact. I know. I would imagine if you had to do that all day long, which a lot of people are doing because they're working from home, you would just be exhausted. Like, it takes a different level of energy, I think, to...
Didn't you talk about to a psychologist about that?
Yeah. He was talking about basically the burnout from, you know, 8 hours of teleconferencing like that, and how at the end of that you can feel a little crispy and need to maybe take a stroll around the neighborhood or do something that fills your bucket, because that can be really draining, I would imagine.
I saw a story today on Oregon Live about the pandemic. Husband was complaining, this is not me, that his
Did you anonymously write in?
His wife kind of let herself go during the pandemic.
Oh, please.
He said, I've been married for 20 years. It's been a good marriage. But ever since the pandemic, his wife doesn't wear makeup. She doesn't dress up.
Give me a break.
Intimacy has stopped. Showers have become an option. He said his wife had a collection of clothes that she loved wearing on the weekend, and he loved that. Now he feels like she just wears the same clothes every day. She's obsessed with her job. She's working from home. He feels like their marriage is falling apart because of the pandemic. What do you make of this?
Maybe their marriage is falling apart because he needs to just be grateful that his wife is healthy and working so hard at her job to contribute to the family income.
Yeah,
maybe.
But don't you feel like you just there's some truth
it.
In that? Look at what I did today. I put on a collared shirt.
Yeah, you're making an effort.
I'm making an effort over here.
Yeah.
Like, if I stopped showering during the pandemic,
then I would have a conversation with you about it. I wouldn't be writing in somewhere. Which, by the way, like, growing up, I was always suspicious that, like, the Dear Abby column.
Yeah.
Those questions aren't real.
They're real.
No, they couldn't
they
be.
They have to be.
They couldn't be.
They I think they are.
Somebody's just making up those questions.
No,
and
I don't think so.
And answering them.
Now, I just like how it became Dear Amy, Dear Bonnie. Like, there's a lot of Ask Amy's. What would you tell the guy? Hey, like,
look, I would tell him suck it up.
No, that's not suck it up. Your wife hasn't taken a shower in a week. That's not. She needs to take a shower. That's a common, you know. And look, in her defense, I lose track of days, and I think it becomes very easy if you know you're not going to see anybody in the course of your day to put on flip flops, put on the same pair of shorts or sweats that you had on yesterday, t-shirt, go unshaven. It becomes easy to do that. But I say to myself, when I get up, I go, I'm going to have some dignity. I'm going to have a shower. I may not see people today. I may just see you guys. But it's out of respect for you guys. I take a shower, you know?
I know that on the days where we've decided, okay, let's try to have a date night, it does. It has felt refreshing to, you know, put on something that's not sweats or workout clothes. And, you know, freshen up and just for myself to feel better about myself, like to remember what that's like and then to try and look nice for you. If you're going to be looking at me and trying to have a conversation over dinner or something without kids interrupting.
Police in California are looking for a woman who purposely coughed on a 1-year-old baby after she got in an argument with the child's mother in a restaurant. White female in her 60s, probably named Karen. This happened on June 12th.
Poor Karens of the world.
They were in line at Yogurtland. Mm-hmm. Surveillance tape shows the woman walking over to the stroller and coughing on the child. She got close to the baby's face, coughed 2 times, then left the restaurant. Mother said that the woman began harassing them because she was speaking Spanish. Here's the video of that incident. I'm going to show you this right now. And they're asking for... Do you know this lady? She's in all this white outfit. She looks like she's just might be the lady who didn't shower. She's got a mask on.
She's in a cult.
She's mad at the poor mother. Look at this. She's dealing with a baby. She's got her yogurt in her cup holder. I mean, it's a whole thing. Look, she's talking to her, warning her. What should happen to this lady?
I need to know more. I don't really understand this. Like, she's the lady
right here.
Oh.
Cough, cough. See that?
But she's coughing with her mask on. That's...
No, she took the mask off to
did?
Do the cough. Yes.
That's really weird.
Clearly took the mask off. She's just trying to be rude to the mom.
Yeah.
Should that be an offense? That's like in a.
Is that going to be the new form of assault? Like,
if you have corona, it could be.
Yeah. That's freaky. Well, clearly that lady needs a. needs an adjustment of attitude.
All right, we don't, though, not on this show. Grab a podcast at iCloud, SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get a podcast, get the podcast, the show. And by the way, take advantage of low interest rates by going to GoldenOakLending.com. They have their free mortgage checkup. I'm going to ask you a question here. How does a couple of months with no mortgage payment sound to you? If that sounds good to you, get the free mortgage checkup at GoldenOakLending.com or go to their website, because it's secure, at your convenience, and just check out what Golden Oak Lending can do for you. A lot of people have done it. They have created relief through low interest rates. You can shorten the term of your loan. You can do what's best for your family by going to GoldenOakLending.com. That is the website, and their secure portal there can help get you on your way. I had somebody reach out to me the other day and say, hey, what's the loan place? It's GoldenOakLending.com. Go there. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Anna, what are you doing? You're over there on Facebook already. You're buying something.
Yeah, I'm buying a wedding registry item. Should we get the $500 coffee maker for our friends?
You're on Amazon. Go to Amazon Smile.
Amazon Smile.
So the BFT Foundation gets some...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.